The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. So exciting on the solemnity of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to have all of you here. And not only those of you who are here, I know there's still some watching online, like my cousin Jen and Jason down in Florida. They're watching online. And so whether we're watching online or we're present here, united with churches all over the world, or the heavenly church, this Pentecost Sunday we're celebrating the birthday of the church. And as on birthdays, we all know how awesome it is to receive gifts. We also know how important it is to, above all, welcome the person and acknowledge the person whose birthday it is, right? And we know Jesus, when we think of his birthday, Christmas, it's his birthday and he's giving gifts on his birthday. And so we know the Holy Spirit's giving gifts on this birthday of the church. He wants to flame our hearts with the fire of his love. So I'm going to ask you to do something uncomfortable right now, okay? You can either do it in your heart without a manifestation of your body, or you can do it with your body. But what I'm going to ask you to do is what the early church did and what Jesus Christ himself in the flesh did when he came into the temple. Is he stood up? Please stand. And as he stood up in the temple, where he knew the glory of his Father was, he put his hands out with his palms raised to heaven. Don't be afraid. Put them out. Either by your side, and if you don't want to do it, it's okay. You can do it in your heart. But this is a position of reception. And even to this day, you can go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and they're there with their hands out. It's a position of receive. And I'm going to ask you to do one other thing online too. Stand up in your living rooms. Get up from the couch or your favorite chair. I'm going to ask you three times with me to acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit here. In this temple, and above all, in the temple of your heart and mine by virtue of our baptism. Repeat after me, please. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Let them hear us in Charlotte. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Let my cousin and her husband hear us in Florida. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Awesome. You can now sit down. Awesome. It actually is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? Fear of the Lord, right? That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord, which means awe-inspiring. To receive this awesomeness of God. just made that exercise of acknowledging the presence of our Lord. That's the most important thing we can do when we step into this church, myself included. And not only the church, we are church as we go out into the world. Imagine what it was like, and Acts of the Apostles gives us a little witness to that. There they are, surrounded, the apostles, surrounding Mary, the mother of God who's there. She was the pillar. She was strong, just like at the foot of the cross. She was there. They were gathered. It was the ninth day. They were had to have some kind of conversation about, is he going to come? He promised. Mother, what does this mean? Mary, what does this mean? Will he come? Their anxiety, their fear, their worry, their hopelessness. How are we going to do it? He said, go out to the world. How are we going to do it? Mary, she said, patience. She had to exercise her freedom. She didn't have it all lined up. Sure, she had an immaculate heart. Sure, she exercised faith, hope, and love. But she knew he'd keep his promise. And then it happened. The earth shook. The wind came. And the fire fell. That could all happen right now. But I believe the Holy Spirit respects your freedom and mine so much that in these times he chooses to come to us, and he could shake this church. I believe it. He chooses to come to us like he came to Elijah on the Mount of Carmel. When it wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the storm, it wasn't in the heavy wind, but it was in the gentle blow of the breeze that he acknowledged the presence of God. It was that presence of the Holy Spirit in the beginning of time when Adam and Eve were formed, and the Ruah, which means wind in Hebrew, as the Father spoke the Word, and the Word, Jesus Christ, without a body, without flesh, went forth, let there be light, let there be water, and the wind, the Ruah, blew over. The Holy Spirit was there. That gentle breeze. And it's that same Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that comes to you and me right now in this moment, the gentle guest of our soul, to renew first and foremost the face of the earth in our hearts. And so to receive the Holy Spirit like never before and say, you will renew the face of the earth, but starting with me. Make my heart anew. Make it more like you. Inflame me with the fire of your love so that my heart burns like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I'm not afraid after Mass to run out into the dark and proclaim the good news. I remember in seminary for me, usually getting to seminary in the first month, you're like, this is awesome. You know how to ride the bike. You're going, you're doing this hour meditation. You're feeling like you're holy. You got it going on. It's awesome. But then 2 months go by, 3 months go by, and it starts to get a little hard. And I remember going to my spiritual director at the time, and I walk in there, I knock on his door, and I said, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. This is kind of too tough for me. This prayer is kind of dry, and I'm not getting it. And he laughed at me. I'm like, why are you laughing at me? This is a struggle. I don't even feel like God is present. There's no sentiments, no emotions. Here I am in this little, and we literally had, no joke, 140 of us, little cubicles. You think your cubicle is small at work? I packed a little bed in there and 3 shelves and my little bit of clothes and a kneeler on the outside and a desk. My cubicle with a curtain. Father Mike and I both asked Father Mike someday. There we were, and it was such a struggle. And he looked at me and he said, you've arrived. I'm like, what? Now you know you're really loving. Now you know you're really receiving, because it's not easy. You know, all of us could have guests over to our home, right? We could invite them over, we could prepare, we could have the nacho dip, we could have everything, we got all the stuff there, right? Right? And here they are, and we're ready for them to come. We're ready. That's somewhat easy. That's charity. But it's not all die for you charity. That unexpected guest that comes at a time where we have to deny ourselves something we'd rather do. And we shift gears to serve, to love. So my spiritual director asked me, he said, so what? When you pray, what's the first step in prayer? And like a good Catholic, raised by my parents, I got that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And he goes, nope. And then I was confused. Well, y'all taught us how to do meditation, so I think it's acts of faith, hope, and love. And he goes, nope. And I said, all right, I'm a little confused now. What is the first act in prayer? And I didn't learn this until I was 30-some years old. To acknowledge the presence of God. We do the sign of the cross. We do all our prayers. We even open up the Bible. We even come to Mass. And it can happen to us priests too. I got 3 Masses today. We can fail to acknowledge the presence of God and we can just become functionaries and just do things. The first step in prayer, which you all so beautifully did, you welcomed that gentle guest. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to acknowledge his presence. That's why we do a genuflection, not to the altar, not to the crucifix, but to the tabernacle. We believe he's truly present there, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. That's why when the Eucharist is not present, we do a bow. Now, I'm going to single out Andrew here in the front. I don't think you'll mind. You don't mind if I tell him what you told me? Okay, he's nodding his head, so I'm good. Andrew's all fired up about his first Holy Communion. He's fired up. He's excited. And he said, Father, and I don't think his mom's going to be upset. Said that, but mom said, listen, man, if you do everything, and he's ready to go. If you do everything right, okay, you do everything right, when you go home, you get yourself some cookies, brownies, and some milk, right? And on top of that, you get to download the extended version of Pokemon Sword. That's awesome. But then what I said to Andrew, I said, but what else can you do after receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist the first time? He goes, well, I can invite him to play with me. I can invite the Holy Spirit to accompany me. And I said, now the Holy Spirit's not always going to help you win and get that high score. There's going to be those moments of humility. I love it now. I'm looking out in the crowd, man. All these little ones are like, wham! Pokemon Sword. You're speaking my language. They're smiling. But I'll tell you, remember how I told you, Andrew? You'll really know how you can win. You can really, really win when you're about ready to get that high score and you welcome the Holy Spirit into your playtime and he's there and all of a sudden, here comes the voice. The familiar voice, it's the Holy Spirit working through your mom or your dad. Dinner time. Dinner time. Oh, man, how hard it is to put down that remote control. But that's where the Holy Spirit wins. That's where there's victory in our heart. That's where we become those living examples of boys and girls, men and women of the faith. By living that. So here's my invitation. These little ones are ready to receive Jesus. We're all temples of the Holy Spirit. He's coming into our heart. Even if you haven't made your first Holy Communion yet, and you're in first grade, second grade, or maybe you're here visiting with family members, and you haven't received your first Holy Communion, you can receive him spiritually into your heart. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Invite him into your heart. Here's the challenge, okay? For you and me, when you leave here today, when you leave this church and you go out into the world as church If you're in your car alone, and you may be a young adult or one of our amazing seniors who's going back to your independent living, and you're going to go into your apartment or the place where you live alone, please remember you are not alone when you get in that car. When you get in the car with your family members, you get in the car or maybe the bus from the carriage club or one of the locations, the independent housing, you get in the car with your family members. Here's the invitation now. Get uncomfortable. I invite you to vocally say out loud, before you turn on that radio or anything else, or even turn the car key, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Invite the Holy Spirit into your car ride home. He's there, but acknowledge His presence there in your car. He's there. When you go home, here's the last challenge, and then we're going to move on to this encounter with Jesus. When you get home, don't worry about tomorrow. Just today, of your house, with your family, stop, pause, acknowledge the presence of God, and pray as a family, everyone with a voice out loud, even if you live alone. Pray, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. The Holy Spirit will renew the face of the earth by renewing our hearts and renewing our homes. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.